Hey, everybody. Welcome back to We Talk Fantasy Football. I believe this is our seventh show now. I think it's our seventh show. We missed a week. Sorry about that. Some personal issues, but we are back. It's really good to be talking fantasy football again. Doesn't matter what week it is. What matters is the title of the show, and this show is called Return of the Fantasy 15, which is our week three show where we kind of highlighted 15 guys we're going to be watching as the season went through. I am Mo, and I am joined by championship winning analyst Brett.
Yay! Hooray for me! Hooray for me!
And we'll just go through here and revisit the guys. So these are the guys, like I say, we were looking at about a month ago.
Here. That's right.
So Adrian Peterson was one guy we were looking at about a month ago, and we said that we really felt very optimistic that he had regained his step and that he was going to get better as the season went on. Now that we, how accurate were we now that we're almost halfway through the season?
Well, I think that that overall we were pretty darned accurate. He is sitting there pretty nicely in the average points per game. But now we're getting all our stats from Fox. So his average points per game is 13.8. He has 96.7 points on Fox, which is pretty strong. It certainly puts him in the top 10. And some of these guys that are ahead of him, one guy that's ahead of him for average points per game is Kevin Smith. So I think you can pretty safely take him out of the equation.
Yeah, exactly. That's an anomaly or whatever the hell it is.
And Anomaly.
Abnormal.
He's fourth in scoring, and I think that that's really the absolute key. He's fourth, oddly enough, just behind one of our other Fantasy 15.
And the thing about him is that we said that that people who got him in the third and fourth round, and even the second round, were getting a steal because he was looking like he was going to end up being a first round quality player. So that one's looking like a good guess. Now, is he going to continue it as the season gets on? Do you think he's going to continue to get stronger? Is he kind of just going to level out? I mean, he's generally very consistent. Not spectacular.
I love him. I think that this guy is tougher than nails, and I absolutely think that he is going to continue to get stronger.
Okay, cool. All right, let's move on then. We're talking about him. Let's move on to the next guy, Alfred Morse. Somebody that we basically said we expected him to end up with about 8 games started and solid stats through the season and solid stats on all the starts, but you still couldn't really quite trust him. I don't think you have any issues trusting him now.
No, I think that one of the things that we commented about with Alfred Morris was what play was the Shanahan's going to make? Were they going to make the Washington plays that they'd be making where they just swap running backs out all the time? Or were they going to make the Denver play where they just install one guy as running back and ride him until the wheels fall off? Mm-hmm. And I think that they're going to ride Alfred Morris until the wheels fall off now.
You might as well. I mean, he is fourth overall in scoring and averaging
third
overall in scoring.
Just barely ahead of Adrian Peterson, might.
Yeah, exactly. 13.9 points a game. Very, very good numbers. Doesn't show any sign of slowing down. You got to love the future in Washington with these two rookies, Morris and RG3. Leading the way, so and we'll get more to RG3 in a little bit. But
and one of the key things is that, like we said about Adrian Peterson and drafting him where you drafted him in the great value, Alfred Morris, of course, offered even better value. But as a comparison, LeSean McCoy is out of the top 10. And he doesn't have, and he's 2 points off on the average points per game. He is not even.
Yeah, he's
close.
He's 14th overall right now in average points per game. And a guy drafted in the top 5 generally.
Yeah, absolutely. So he is not giving you what you want.
No, and I don't really blame him for that.
No.
So let's move on. I mean, let's keep going here. Ryan Williams was somebody that we said that when he gets his shot, he has a chance to be like Alfred Morris, just a straight-head north or south runner. He will get a shot because we were sure Beanie Wells will get hurt. That all happened, but when he got a shot, he never came through, and now, of course, he won't anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that we said was that if we were going to get 25 touches a game out of him, he was going to give us what we were hoping for. The truth is that he never got his 25 touches, and now he's hurt. So the number one problem for us is that we drafted him so much, even though it was late, it's still just that he was a guy that we drafted a lot in hopes that he would become a starting running back.
Well, we didn't believe in Beanie Wells staying healthy. The idea that Ryan Williams was going to get hurt, too, wasn't so much on our mind.
No.
And that's really has. But even then, he wasn't performing at the level he needed to when he got his chance.
Yeah, he was just not a guy that we could count on, period. And so even though we drafted him late, it was kind of an off call on our part.
Yeah. Next, Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Doug Martin has been somebody that we kind of thought had potential to be solid, but we didn't think would be spectacular. And we weren't 100% sure on, you know, certainly not sure on where he was drafted, which was generally second, third round. He's probably about where we thought he was, about where he was drafted. I guess he's not that bad for it, is he?
He's 18th overall in total scoring on Fox, which, you know, is ahead. I mean, again, it's ahead of Darren McFadden. It's ahead of Matt Forte. It's ahead of Steven Jackson. It's ahead of a lot of guys who were drafted before him.
That said, it's also behind a lot of guys who were drafted after him.
Yeah.
It's behind Reggie Bush. It's behind...
Sean Green,
yeah. It's behind Willis McGahee. It's, you know...
C.J. Spiller, I think, was drafted after him in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And Alfred Morris, of course, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, he's put up some excellent games. And he's only really put up a couple of average games. He's had his bye. He's looking...
He never really lays an egg. I mean, there's one where he put up about 5 points or whatever, but, you know, he's generally fairly solid. He's just never spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, he's projected currently at 627 yards. I'm sure he'll get more than that, but, you know, he's looking like a rookie running back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to some quarterbacks here. Do you want to... Oh, Chris Johnson. How could I forget him?
Yeah, I don't know how you could forget him.
Yeah, where is he in the average per game here?
Well, he is two spaces up from Doug Martin.
One behind LeSean McCoy, so he's 15th overall running back. About a guy that if you had drafted in the third round, you'd probably feel comfortable with as an RB2.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what we always said we thought he was. He looks like a total home run hitter, doesn't he?
Oh, is he ever a home run hitter? I mean, he's coming off a monster game. Like, he is coming off the game that he would typically have when he was, you know, CJ2K.
Yeah, and I think he's got one more like that in him. I also think he's got several more like week one and two.
Yeah, I mean, he's got... You're talking about...
Let's just list them off by week. Week one, how many points?
5.1.
Week two?
2.8.
Week 3.
2.9.
Week 4.
15.7.
Week 5.
0.9.
Week 6.
11.4.
Week 7.
31.8.
Yeah. There was a guy, by also that first name, Chris Brown, that used to be there. And this guy used to carry the ball 15 to 20 times, and he'd get 2 yards, 1 yard, 2 yards, 1 yard, 60. 2 yards, 1 yards, 2 yards, 1 yards. And they couldn't stand it. They got rid of him, even though at the end of the game, he almost always had 100 yards. Chris Johnson's become that guy.
Yeah, he's totally that guy. Like, you, again, in a matchup against a truly weak defense, and I was worried about Buffalo when we talked about the Fantasy 15 before. I'm not worried about them now. I know they suck.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so I know that... As any player that you want to put up against them, I am more than happy to say, like, hey, if you got somebody going up against Buffalo, put them up.
Yeah, and the last two games, or two of the other games he's had his better performances against, ironically, Houston and Pittsburgh. But I think one of the things is his last game, 11.4 and 31.3. Both of those have been when Jake Locker's been out, and it's been Matt Hasselbeck behind the helm. And I think defenses are not quite as aggressive then and stacking the box as much, and that's helped him a little bit. But, again, I expect this one more time. But, I mean, he's a home run hitter. Every now and then he might win you a game by himself once or twice this season, but he's going to cost you a few games too. I still don't want him.
No, I mean, it's funny because his season totals, he's at 496 yards. So he's absolutely on pace currently for that 1,000 yards. And
exactly,
and we did,
where we said.
We did call that 1,000 yards. And, you know, he's got a couple of touchdowns. He is pretty much exactly what we said right now.
Yeah, exactly. So as we go through the season, I don't know if we were really so far in the running backs, anybody we were overly wrong on. We weren't always perfectly right, but we certainly weren't wrong on kind of our assessments. So let's keep going with the quarterbacks. We had here a few here we were wrong on, a few here we weren't. Mark Sanchez, what about him? I'm curious here. This is going to kind of be interesting for us. We're going to look at where he sits in average per game and average, because he's had a couple pretty decent games, and I'm not even sure where he sits overall in the average per game starters for quarterback or per season starter for quarterback at this point. But it's obviously not too high because you're going out to the second page still looking
for him. He is third on the second page. He has 13.5 points on average, the same as Jake Locker, who has missed time. Slightly above Ryan Tannehill and
Russell
Wilson.
Well, I don't know. Was there a single quarterback who was more maligned before his injury there than Matt Castle? And Matt Castle's about the same. So, you know, it is interesting because Tony Romo's there.
We'll
talk a little bit. Well, we can talk about them both right now. Somebody else on our Fantasy 15.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because Mark Sanchez has 94.5. Tony Romo has 93.6.
Yeah, and per game average, it's what, 15.6 and 13.6 or something?
Yeah, around that. And I think the key thing is that when you're talking about this page,
here's quarterbacks.
They're not on it.
No, I mean, here's some quarterbacks that aren't very good or that you wouldn't want on your fantasy team that are ahead of Mark Sanchez and Tony Romo. Brandon Whedon, Carson Palmer, Alex Smith, Matt Schaub.
Well, Matt Schaub plays, like, he's a great QB, too. He's not necessarily, but I'm more thinking about the fact that we were talking about
Sam Bradford. Yeah, Matt Schaub's not a guy who are, I mean, not that you were looking at, I think you were hoping Sanchez could become a QB, too. He obviously isn't even that.
Yeah, because Sanchez is, or sorry, Sam Bradford is there. Kevin Cobb is on the list with 101
points. Yeah, but Tony Romo being this far down, is he somebody you cut bait on at this point?
You know, I don't think you can cut bait on Tony Romo, but I mean, it's
But if Ryan Fitzpatrick is way better, if he's averaging 6 more points per game, then why don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you actually have the opportunity to go out and just snag, one of these guys who is ahead of him, I mean, frankly, would I rather play Alex Smith?
And there's guys, I would still play him ahead of Palmer and Whedon. But I'm not so sure I would play him ahead of, Josh Freeman or Joe Flacco. And Flacco hasn't probably been as good lately as we'd expect either.
Well, I think one of the
key Cutler's things, down there, too, is somebody that's just a total disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, he played it.
Phillip Rivers, we were down on this year. He's, you know, another one.
He won. But, see, one of the things that's really killing Brandon Whedon is that first game, the negative .8.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, if you say that's killing him, that negative .8, that first game, how about the fact that first game for Sanchez is boosting him up?
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. So by that token, I would absolutely 100% rather have Brandon Whedon and his relatively consistent stats than Mark Sanchez and his Tony Romo and his highly inconsistent stats. So yeah, basically what we're saying right now is Brandon Whedon makes way more sense from a quarterback perspective than either Mark Sanchez or
Tony
Romo. Who
you're probably not counting on, or Tony Romo, who you might be.
Yeah, because Brandon Whedon has given much more consistency throughout right now because he has to throw the ball.
Tony Romo, you want to keep him on your team? Sure. I can understand you don't want to put him on the waivers, though you could. At these stats, you could. But starting him, waiting for him to come around, I wouldn't. I would rather have him on the bench and have a couple good games and see that he's coming around, than, especially since, again, he started the season pretty hot.
He's had two good games, a couple of middling games, and two really bad games.
Yeah, you just can't count on that. All you want from your quarterback generally is consistency.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have a guy who consistently averages 20 points than have a guy who gets a high of 30 and then a low of 5.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you're looking at he's at the same level as a Blaine Gabbert, I mean, that's scary.
That is very scary, yeah. And I mean, Mark Sanchez, of course, his 26, like we called it earlier, his first game is actually by far his best game, 26.6 points. He went so far as to have a .1 game.
Which is almost impossible to do.
Yeah. And now he's had a couple of 15-point games, which is fine for a QB3.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things you want in your QB2 is that upside. So, I mean, if you're looking at keeping Romo as a QB2, at least he's got the upside. I mean, another guy that's right on their same level that was on our Fantasy 15 that's averaging a little less points, I guess, than either one of them is Jake Locker. Now, funny enough, Matt Hasselbeck is averaging really the exact same, but they're winning with Hasselbeck. What's going to happen with Locker? Is he going to get back in? Should people still own him or look to pick him up? What do you think?
Well, right now, I think that the way Hasselbeck is playing, I think they're probably going to stick with him because
don't think they are. I mean, I know at 3-4, you're thinking you're not out of the playoff run yet, but it's like we're seeing this with Colin Kirk. What is it?
Colin Kaepernick.
Thank you. And Alex Smith, where people are saying, pull Alex Smith even though you're winning because the other guy is more explosive and more charismatic and gives you more upside. And Jake Locker, at the end of the day, doesn't give you the... I mean, you could have always gone with Hasselbeck then in the safety. You always knew he was probably the better quarterback today, but there has to be a sense that you're developing the guy, and there has to be a sense that you think he has the potential, and he is the more explosive, can win you a game by himself, if need be, guy.
Well, I think it comes down to their schedule. If it depends on how well they play against Indianapolis coming up, the likelihood of them beating Chicago is in the negatives.
That's true.
You know, then they have Miami. The thing is that if they beat Indianapolis and Miami, even if they lose to Chicago, and if all of those games are Matt Hasselbeck, then he probably stays their quarterback coming out of the bye. But
yeah, that's true.
If they lose two out of those three, then for sure Locker is going to be their quarterback coming out of the bye. I think the bye is the big thing. Like, their bye is in week 11. And if they, like I say, if they win, then they're probably going to look to Matt Hasselbeck. If they lose, then I would pretty much guarantee that Jake Locker will be their quarterback out of the bye versus Jacksonville.
I'm looking at their schedule coming out of the bye, even if they're 5-5 heading into it. The most I could see them doing is going 8-8. Because they're not going to beat Houston. They're not going to beat Green Bay on the road. And they're probably going to drop one of those other games there, too.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, they got Jacksonville a couple of times, and depending on Blaine Gabbert and how he's playing after the injury, that'll come up.
The Titans are kind of like they've been for the last couple of years. Good enough to not rebuild, but bad enough to not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think Locker is a bad quarterback. I think they just have to take the training wheels off him and let him do what he does best.
Maybe if they can have a receiving corps that stays healthy there, that'll help.
Ooh, yeah.
Wright, though. Kendall Wright looks like a player.
Kendall Wright's looking very good, no question about it. Yeah.
All right, let's move on there. We talked an awful, awful lot about not often a few players not in the Fantasy 15, but hey, that's what we do. What the hell? We're talking fantasy football still. RG3, we thought RG3. He looked like... We were like, okay, after week one, we were ready to say, you know what, he does look like the player that we were told he's going to be, and he has been.
Man, is he ever. He is third in scoring. He has a nice 25.7 points per game average, other than one clunker that he threw up against
Everything
Atlanta.
Else has been above average after that.
Yeah, yeah, with the exception of one game, he is truly... been putting on a show.
And I think that might have been the game where he left because of an injury with a concussion.
Yeah. Because the key thing is that he had a game against Minnesota. Like, we talked about how he was made to look better in game one. Well,
I said in game one that I thought that he looked better because the coaching was so good.
Yeah. Game two, he put up more points.
Yeah.
Game three and four, he was good. And then game six against Minnesota, he puts up 37.1 points.
Yeah, no, he's a very good quarterback and a better athlete. And they know that. But you know what the really funny thing is? I was watching quite a bit of him the last couple of weeks. Is I think as good as he is, I think that Shanahan is asking too much of him. And if he actually was a little bit reined him in a little bit and allowed him spend a little more time trying to teach him the position instead of letting him just be the crazy, wild, athletic player that he is, I think he could become an even better quarterback. I think Shanahan's actually asking too much of him, putting too much pressure on him to win games by himself. And I don't know that that's fair. That said, he's also obviously awesome.
Well, they have the good running game with Alfred Morris, but one of the absolute keys is
that... it's the things, though, like fourth and 4 yards in midfield. Okay, I'll throw him out there. You know, and sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he fails, and Shanahan's doing that. I think he's just putting too much pressure. There's a lot of belief on him, and maybe it's the right move, but I think he's asking too much of him.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. And the big key is of course, the comparisons to Cam Newton are certainly going to abound.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's understandable. Both are early, you know, first and second round draft, or first and second overall draft picks, and players who are having great rookie seasons.
Yeah. And
great athletes.
Yeah, and the question will be, like, how do they play come the second season? Does RG3 have a sophomore slump in him? Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. And Cam Newton has, I mean, what do you think about Cam Newton?
Yeah, Cam Newton was on our touch base kind of players afterwards. I mean, Cam Newton he's in the top 20. That's good.
No, but for a guy who was drafted to be expected between top 5 and top 8...
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
The problem with Cam Newton, and it's like we've talked about, Cam Newton is Mr. Inconsistent.
Yeah.
He's thrown up two really good games, and then he's thrown up, you know, two clunkers and a couple of...
Average.
And a couple of average, you know.
It's really, really tough, because you don't want to sit him, because at any point in time, you know he can go off.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, and he's that home run hitter again. We said it before, if you're going to have a home run hitters, you need an entire roster of them. Hoping that it averages that every week you have two or three guys that go off. You can't just have one or two of them because they'll kill you in games. Cam Newton, though, he's pressing too much.
He is absolutely pressing too much. He needs to just know what he does well, and he has to go out there. And the problem is a season like this can completely kill a quarterback's development.
It can kill your confidence and kill your development. It can also, though, you can learn from it.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to come out of this a stronger quarterback?
Stronger mentally?
Or is he going to come out of this Vince Young?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, who knows? I do know that I couldn't believe, I said it early on, that I thought for sure they were better. They lost to the Buccaneers in week one. I thought for sure they're a better team than the Buccaneers, and they sure as hell aren't.
No, they sure as hell aren't. Josh Freeman has proven himself to be a good, strong quarterback right now. And more to the point, the Panthers' defense can't stop a damn thing.
No, they're awful. So another guy on there, Andrew Luck. We talk about RG3. We should talk about Andrew Luck. We basically said not quite ready to be a star yet, but a lot of potential. Great future, but probably average or below average season. I guess that's pretty much along lines. A couple great games and... He's like Cam Newton, but I think you're comfortable with that because you're not drafting him in the first round.
Yeah, that's really the key. If I had Andrew Luck, I mean, again, it's like you talk about. He's had a couple of clunkers. He's had two really good games and a couple of in the middle. It's the same basic element as Tony Romo and Cam Newton. But the problem is that you drafted Andrew Luck late. And he's got 7 TDs, he's got 7 interceptions. This is all what you would expect out of a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's playing exactly consistent with where he was drafted and what he is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Where is he actually overall here?
As far as points go, he has 118.5, which puts him under Josh Freeman and Joe Flacco.
So 19.7 points per game. Newton is averaging 18.9. Christian Ponder averaging 18.1, is that correct?
16.1.
So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea there.
I mean, it's crazy, though. Drew Brees is averaging 30.6.
Yeah, just because he's unreal. And they're still only, 2-5?
Yeah, they're still not a very good team.
Yeah, exactly. That defense is terrible. But he's not giving up. He might will them back into contention for a playoff spot. I doubt it, but he might. He might. So a couple players that we drafted a lot, let's talk about together here then. Peyton Manning and Joe Flacco. Peyton, we said, you know what, it looks like he has it. Regardless of his arm strength, he's so smart, and we're expecting solid but not spectacular numbers. What are we getting?
Right now, we're getting spectacular. Yeah. Because he had a strong game week one at Pittsburgh. He laid an egg against Atlanta, and from that point, it's like he got mad. Because then it's 25, 31, 30, and 28. And he's got 14 touchdowns compared to 4 interceptions. I don't see him stopping. He's
getting
on a
better
mission.
And better. He is on a mission. He has a nice receiving core. Not great, but very nice. And, you know, the funny thing is, if you had told me he was going to put up those kind of stats, I would have expected them to be better than 3-3. Especially since their defense was so crazy good last year. And their record's not really any better than looking like he's going to be any better than it was last year with Tebow. But they sure as hell have better quarterback play. I think in the second half they're going to be a team that gels and ends up running away with that division.
And honestly, when you look at their matchup, I mean, you got New Orleans, which is going to be a shootout.
Yeah, he's going to be
a potential shootout. He's got the average defense of Cincinnati, the average defense of Carolina. Yeah, the below average. Yeah, the San Diego defense, which is not that great. Kansas City, hello. Tampa Bay, which is a strong, solid match.
Well, yeah, but Drew Brees just lit him up.
Yeah. Oakland, who gets lit up by virtually everybody, except for Jacksonville.
Baltimore, who right now looks like they might be lit up from here on in.
Yeah.
Their injuries.
And then he finishes it off with Cleveland and Kansas City. I don't know that any quarterback in the league
has a
cakewalk schedule like that. That is sick.
Yeah, I mean, if he's right now, what is he, 6 in points per game average? He could finish top 4 easily.
Yeah.
I could see him pushing up. Which is really impressive.
I will be shocked. Yeah, he's actually top 5
I can see him
per
going,
game average.
I can see him moving ahead of Matt Ryan. You're right, he's number 5. And I can see him moving ahead of Matt Ryan. And
I expect Peyton Manning to finish in the top 5 quarterbacks
for sure.
In the NFL.
That's awesome.
This time.
Now, Joe Flacco, who we were really, really excited because we got him so late, and we were sure he's going to be a top 10 guy. What's going on there?
He is currently quarterback number 11 for points. The thing is that he had four. Well, no, he is not. Four is not right. I mean, he started out really good. That 23.9 was really good. He followed it with an average game, mm-hmm. And then he had a great game, and then he had a strong game, and then he had a crap game, and then he had an average game, and then he had another crap game, and I think. You know, the problem is that I am concerned because of the inconsistency that we're seeing now.
Yeah. Well, he's not getting better as the season goes on. And their defense really worries me right now. They can't stop the run at all. And if you can't stop the run and you can't get on the field, I don't know. I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, he's got some nice matchups coming up. I mean, Cleveland, how well he plays against Cleveland. He's got Oakland. He's got San Diego. He's got Washington. He's got, the Giants.
Yeah, honestly, you look at his next four games, and Cleveland, Oakland, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers. I mean, you'll definitely know whether or not you can count on him for the playoffs by the end of that.
Yeah, no question about it. And Pittsburgh and Washington to, the next two. He
that said,
be
if, you,
okay.
if you have him in week 9 and, you have him against Cleveland, I'm not sure you play him still. He's just somebody, he hasn't inspired confidence.
No, I think that he's somebody that you have to be able to sit on the bench for the next couple of games and let it see how it plays out with them.
And let's talk a little bit about some of the wide receivers out there that we had on our Fantasy 15 list. Not as many here, but who we got here? We had Stephen Hill, who had that monstrous first game with Mark Sanchez, and was a first-round pick, 6'4", 215. physical tools, and we said, yeah, we don't want to play him. We're not going to even pick him up on the waiver wires, despite that awesome first game. What's he done? Nothing.
Yeah, Stephen Hill.
And it's not just the injury.
No. Stephen Hill, he had himself a great game. He put up, of the 34.7 points that he has, he put up 20 of them in the first game.
Yeah.
And then he had two zeros, a couple of injured games, 8.3, 5.5. This is exactly what we expected out of him.
We're always afraid of some rookie running backs. I'm more afraid of rookie wide receivers.
Oh, absolutely.
I never want one.
No, and then you combine a rookie wide receiver with a average quarterback, and you kind of have a recipe for fantasy disaster.
And, yeah, not much running game either, though. Sean Green's had a little better there, but
he's played a little better, but not spectacular.
No, exactly. Titus Young, basically he was getting the raves out of training camp like nobody else. I loved his talent. He hasn't done much. Nate Burleson, though, is gone for the season.
Yeah, with Burleson out, that really makes a difference, because Titus Young is now moving into the starting lineup. This is basically where we anticipated him getting, eventually. Now, I mean, we're talking about a highly inconsistent season with some really bad games. Never a spectacular game. So I think that it's going to be very interesting. He's got Seattle in next game, and I don't like that matchup, period.
No.
He's got Jacksonville, so we're going to see against Jacksonville, maybe Minnesota. But he's got Green Bay, Houston.
Green Bay's defense is also pretty inconsistent.
Yeah.
Houston, awesome. Really, when I look at it, though, what gets me is, okay, there's only two games where he's had one game where he had six catches for 75 yards, another one six catches for 81, which is the last game where Burleson got hurt. But one touchdown all season. But it's not just him. I mean, I don't like their running game
in Detroit. Hate it.
I don't like their quarterback play in Detroit.
Hate it.
I don't like anything about Detroit. And this is a team that's not making the playoffs. So how much can you expect from this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's just not putting up big points. And you can't rely on him game in and game out for a ton of yards.
Out of curiosity, where's Calvin Johnson in the average per game list right now?
Well, let's go to page one.
He's got to be on page one, but he's not. I'm guessing he's nowhere near where he would be drafted.
He is out of the top 10 as far as points per game. 10.9 points per game. In fact, for points overall, Calvin Johnson...
Yeah, he's 13th overall. Yeah, so...
Yeah, Calvin Johnson is way lower, you know, as far
high-end
as
high-end wide receiver, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's...
He's below...
He's being killed, too.
He's below Randall Cobb.
Yeah. So if he's...
And James Jones.
Yeah, and not in average, but in total points. And so, again, if you can't count on... And, you know, same with Larry Fitzgerald. And I don't even want to know where Andre Johnson is. So if you can't count on these guys, you're sure as hell not counting, especially Calvin Johnson in that offense, you're sure as hell not counting on Titus Young. And let's talk about Randy Moss, speaking as somebody who... You basically said, yeah, he's probably going to end up with 30, 40 yards, but a bunch of TDs. And I said, you know what, maybe if Alex Smith goes off, but he's not likely to, maybe he'll have a good season, but I never believed in him. And, Randy Moss, after first game where people got excited like they did with Kevin Ogletree, nothing there.
Nope. Randy Moss, you got to dig real hard to get down to his 24.8 points. He's had
half of that in game one.
Yep, half of that in game one. The, almost the other half in game six. Everything else has been ones and twos.
And yet there's Harbaugh still pumping him up as, hey, he's still going to have a couple of spectacular games this season. He's not. He's done. I'd rather have Terrell Owens. Okay, maybe not.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, Randy Moss.
I'd rather not have either one of them. It'd be one thing if he was that type of leader and that type of mentor to young players. Since I don't think he's that, why wouldn't you rather develop a young player?
Yeah, I don't really understand it. Mind you, given their inconsistent use of everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
There's not a single guy that is truly on their radar there. I mean, Michael Crabtree is fine, but that being said, I'm not, like, Mario Manningham is not used.
No.
At all.
It's Crabtree and Davis, the entire receiving team there. And a little bit to the running backs, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty... Yeah, Michael Crabtree is still way, way down with only 42.8 points. So, you know, you're not talking about a spectacular wide
receiver. Aerial attack.
Yeah.
No, Alex Smith. Well, Alex Smith has been struggling lately. Will he come back and become the game manager again? Likely, but when he's struggling...
When he struggles, that
one
team...
One TD, four picks in the last two games? No good.
No, not at all.
No good. All right, I guess we're done. Let's just quickly, a couple other the quick hits. Justin Blackmon, we still loved his potential, but we're not sure he was ready.
He's not ready.
We thought his potential overplayed his readiness, though.
We absolutely did. We were totally wrong. It's funny because Justin Blackmon is a kid that we totally wanted to grab in the late rounds. We always missed him. And right about now, I'm saying, well, we actually dodged a bullet.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon Gibson, who you said you probably figured he'd have some consistent games and not be horrible. And I said I actually kind of liked him. You weren't that high on him, though you saw that he could be consistent on occasion. What are we seeing out of him?
He is almost generally consistent. He is consistent, consistently average.
Yep.
And I'm still
He's a nice wide receiver three, which is what I was hoping for from him.
I don't think he's that, because I think...
I think he is with Amendola gone. I think he is.
I think with Amendola gone, he could have that, but he's definitely struggles. You know, his points, I mean, you're talking about a guy who is only averaging 6.5 points a game. That is not really that good.
Steven Ridley started off hot. What about now? Not so sure.
Yeah, Steven Ridley. I mean, he's a guy who, if he has fumbling problems, then you got the problems.
No coach loves fumbling problems, but he's got a coach who really doesn't find that. Now, he's still not... I mean, what is he? He's put up, you know, fairly good numbers, except for two games, right? But a couple great games and a couple of consistent games. I still think you're probably going to get consistent. I just don't think he's going to carry the rock to the level that he was those first few games of the season.
Yeah, I think it's... mind you, a lot of it is going to depend on Brandon Bolden. He came out of nowhere to show some good moves. So it's... You know, it depends. Like, you got to think about the fact that they got St. Louis coming up. St. Louis is not awesome, but it is in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But then they got Buffalo, they got Indianapolis. I mean, they've got some great matchups, and they've got some hellish matchups. So, you know, I expect more of the same out of Steven Ridley.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Brandon Lloyd. We were saying that he could eventually force Wes Welker out of the lineup, make him expendables, basically. And I said I could even see Welker being released, like they released Moss, you know, a few years ago. So we're stupid.
Yep. Well, that right there is what you call the bad predictions. Because I didn't predict that Wes Welker was going to be released. I predicted that this was going to be Wes Welker's last year with the Patriots. It could still happen. But I'll tell you right now, Brandon Lloyd is not going to be the guy who does it.
No. Brandon Lloyd, you know, if anything, it's just that they feel that those two tight ends are going to focus their offense around them, because Brandon Lloyd he never developed the chemistry, and he's never going to, it looks like.
Brandon Lloyd...
What's he on pace for?
Well, I mean, you're talking about he's got 407 yards and one touchdown so far. I mean, so if you're lucky... Then you should expect
maybe he gets to 1,000 and three TDs.
Yeah, I mean,
I think considering people had hopes that he'd be a high end two, or low end, or sorry, high low end one, high end two.
Oh, I think even I kind of half expected him to get 1,400 yards and 5 to 6 TDs, and he's not getting close to that.
No.
And he's not consistent either. He's had two good games, and he's had a lot more bad ones.
Robert Meacham, I thought, was going to eventually emerge as the most talented receiver in San Diego, and you weren't quite as sure, and you're right. A little better lately, but still awful.
Well, I mean, here's a guy who has 30 points, and he got more than half in one game against his old team.
Yeah, week six against his old team.
Everything else, it's either 0 or 4, 0 or 3. You can't run a fantasy team with a guy like that.
Yeah, they can't run a real team with a guy like that.
No, they
can't. I wonder if he'll be with that club next year.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but it really depends on how Vincent... what's his name? Their other guy, Vincent Brown.
Vincent Brown, yeah.
It depends if he comes
depends
back.
On his, yeah, Malcolm Floyd is definitely the number one guy. If Vincent Brown steps it up, obviously with Gates also struggling. Let's face it, Rivers is struggling. Their running game is struggling. Rivers, all of it, a lot of it comes around him, though. He just, he looks older and tired, more tired than he actually is.
Well, and I think part of the thing about Rivers is we talk about Peyton Manning losing arm strength.
Yeah.
Well, Philip Rivers has lost arm strength.
Exactly.
He may not want to admit that. See, Peyton Manning has admitted that he's lost arm strength, and he is changing his game to suit the new style. Philip Rivers is still trying to play like the gunslinger that he was three seasons ago.
Yeah.
And Philip Rivers versus Drew Brees, not even close.
No. And Philip Rivers versus, for that sake, Philip Rivers versus Eli Manning, not even close.
Not even close. And head coaches, Norv Turner versus anyone, not even close.
Isaac Redman, last guy that we touched upon that I thought he had potential again, and you were like, you just didn't trust anybody in the backfield, and basically said, we didn't really. I thought he had potential, but at the end of the day, the guy we wanted to own was Mendenhall. Right now, I don't want to own any of them.
Nope. I mean, the last game, Dwyer was the guy who had the big stats. That is a complete and utter mess.
Mendenhall will
right
be
now.
Back now. Do I trust him to stay healthy, or will he be back and will they give him the rock or not?
Well,
I don't know.
Here's the key.
I don't know what the hell's going on there.
In the first three games, he had 2.7, 9.9, and 5.1. All we hoped for out of him was getting those first three games with solid numbers.
That's where he had to establish himself.
And he couldn't do that at all. And I think the problem, like, why do you even bother holding on to a guy who basically has only put up one double-digit total in like, six games?
And he's been banged up here the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
He'll be back soon, but still.
I mean, you cannot trust him. He just, I've seen him play a lot. Sometimes he looks inspired. Most of the time he looks completely uninspired, and he's just not good enough to make a difference on your team.
So who out there would you cut bait on? Redman is obviously one.
I'm getting
Tony
to the
Romo.
Point. Tony Romo, the more
Phillip
that...
Philip Rivers.
When you look at it, when you can talk about the fact that there are guys like Brandon Whedon, and I know that seems horrible.
Because you were so hard on him after week one.
You know, I mean, Brandon Whedon is a guy who I said I expect better than week one. And I was, you know...
Well, you still said, you said he was horrible.
He was flat out
disgusting.
No, you're
like, he's a horrible quarterback. That said, he'll be better than week one.
Yes.
Was what you said. It turns out he's a decent quarterback and better than week one.
Yes.
He has to throw the ball in that team.
He absolutely does. And if
largely because their defense is inconsistent and also because they have no running game. Because they cannot have a running back who stays healthy.
No.
Whatever you feed the running backs in Cleveland over the last 20 years, start flying in something else. Or however many years since they've been back. Because whatever it is they're eating or doing, it does not keep them healthy.
Nope. But as far as quarterbacks go, do you cut bait on Matt Stafford? You know, maybe you think of it because
maybe you think
he's
of it, yeah.
Putting, he's near
certainly
the bottom.
You don't want to you basically, again, when you say cut bait, maybe not put him on the waivers, but certainly put him on the bench.
Yeah, because when you talk about a guy who was in the bottom, basically the bottom half of the league, and you talk about a guy who was also able. Or you're able to pick up a guy like Brandon Whedon or even Alex Smith or potentially Christian Ponder or something or certainly maybe Josh Freeman. You're able to pick those guys up on the waiver wire. Ryan Fitzpatrick is available on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
In some cases. When you can do that.
Andy Dalton's available on the waiver wire in some cases.
Yeah.
He's still put up, even though he was awful against Pittsburgh the last week, hey, he still put up top 10 stats.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again... What do you do with San Diego and I mean their whole team is not looking good, but Philip Rivers, you probably can't release him, but
bench him.
Mark Sanchez, bench him. Tony Romo, bench him.
Sanchez, you can release.
Oh, that's right. No, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. I was assuming that anybody even had him on their
Exactly. And finally, what about running backs or wide receivers? Anybody you're cutting bait on?
Well, I mean, there's been some scary running backs out there right now, and I think the biggest concern is when you look at a guy who has tons and tons of talent and who is not doing the job. And the first guy that I look at is Darren McFadden.
Yeah, no kidding.
He is still not producing.
Again, you got to put him on the bench. You can't put him on the bench, but you got to put him on the bench. It's a quandary.
Yeah, you are talking about a guy who has put up three average games.
And those are his best games.
Yes. The other games have been three bad games. And I'm happy that he's off his bye, but it all depends. Like, he's got Kansas City coming up next, and if he can't put up some good numbers against Kansas City...
Yeah, what he put up last game against Jacksonville, 8.1 points.
8.1.
You don't put him up against Jacksonville, I'm worried.
And here's the biggest thing. You're talking about 18, 13, 27, 19. You're talking about massive amounts of carries.
Yeah.
You're not talking
about... They give him touches. They have nothing else.
Yeah. He is just playing so badly. And if he doesn't get out of it against the Chiefs defense, then bench him. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, basically. Basically, I'd agree with that.
I mean, DeMarco Murray, here's a guy that I've got a lot of concerns about. I mean, he was a guy who was pretty consistently drafted in the second round.
Ryan Matthews still hasn't put it together, and I'm worried now that...
Because the rest of the team is looking so bad. I mean, he only missed two games, and even if you could say that the next two were him working himself back, he got one big 19.9 game, and then it was back down to the average.
I'm ready to cut bait on both running backs in Carolina.
Well, the thing is that now they've benched D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make Jonathan Stewart the feature back. Well, that's awesome, and Jonathan Stewart easily has the talent for it, but... It's time, you know, like make a decision, and you don't have the right offensive line either.
I don't think it's going to work. I'm you know,
nope.
not feeling it from either one of them. I mean, Stewart's obviously the one to own, but technically he's being outproduced by Williams.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's being good though.
No.
And Jonathan Stewart's been injured, so I mean, it's been a nightmare no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Tolbert's almost worth more than the other rest.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary.
And Green Bay now is a potential fantasy wasteland for running backs. I mean, you don't even need a Green Bay running back. I think you can pretty much.
Alice Green is still the better guy there, but not saying much. If you want to play a running back who's going to give you 6 points, Alice Green's your man.
Absolutely, he will give you that 6 points, no problem.
Yeah, as long as Aaron Rodgers can do what he does, then.
Yeah.
Who the hell needs Alex Green?
Yeah, you don't need Alex Green at all. He's got lots of wide receivers.
And Kuhn will steal the touchdowns, so.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, as far as wide receivers go, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's a little scary for what he is. Stevie Johnson is...
I benched Larry Fitzgerald this last week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at that point again where I will bench him. I mean, I won't release him, but I will bench him you know, he's not matchup proof to me.
No, I mean, when you talk about like a guy like D'Angelo Williams, he's actually releasable right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's playing so poorly. I mean, Dwayne Bowe has not had a very good season now. I mean, so much of that is quarterback related.
He still gets the targets. At least I like that. But
Andre Johnson is probably the most shocking overall.
Again, he's benchable. He's not releasable, but I've said to you this.
I've
pretty much given up on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had a game that I somewhat expected, but 8.6 points, this is non-PPR, of course, is just not good enough.
No. And then you got Steve Smith, who's at the same level as Brandon Lloyd, and Brandon Gibson. So that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, even Dez Bryant has 51.8 points. And he had, how many points did he have? He had 21.5 in one game. But, I mean, he's tied with Tony Romo and his horrible inconsistencies. DeSean Jackson is benchable. You know, I mean, when Santana Moss has more points than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, it's scary.
What the hell's going on in Pittsburgh?
Exactly, it's scary. A lot of these guys, you just... Let's see who's actually releasable that people might not have thought of. We'll go to the next page here. There might actually be somebody there who... Well, Meacham obviously is releasable.
Meacham is completely releasable, yeah.
You know, he's somebody you drafted, but he's completely, completely releasable. Donnie Avery is somebody who's releasable that people picked up after a couple hot games.
Pierre Garçon, I think, has reached the point where he's pretty well releasable, even though he's been in and out of the lineup. He's just not playing at Darius Heyward-Bey. He doesn't deserve to be owned. He's not. I mean, Carson Palmer's not a good enough quarterback.
No, no.
Kenny Britt.
Better numbers than Tony Romo, though. Same age, too.
Yeah. Kenny Britt has.
I wouldn't release him, but you got to bench him. You got to bench him.
Yeah, he's just not showing up that well. I mean, after this point, you're talking about guys with 20 points.
You got guys like Williams in Tampa Bay and stuff like that who you'd rather look at than a lot of these guys, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's very few players that are left
Kendall
now.
Kendall Wright and Williams and these kind of guys, so.
Yeah, I mean, when a guy...
Mike Williams in Tampa Bay. Thank you.
When your best guys... When your guy has 12.2 points, and that is by a long shot his best game.
And it's health, and he doesn't understand the offense yet. You got to bench him until he gets it going.
Yep, absolutely.
And he probably will. Historically, he does those last 4 weeks of the year. But
the key thing is that also these are guys that if you make that decision where there's somebody better that you can look at, then you know who's to say that why wouldn't you? Even I mean, Hakeem Nicks has 39.4 points. He is under Brandon Stokley. He's under Kevin Walter. But do you give up on Hakeem Nicks? No, of course not.
And you know he's hurting. Even right now, even though he played last game, he's hurting. Now, my final question for you, basically, as we look to go out here, is on somebody that is kind of being under the fantasy radar, deservedly so. Fred Davis gets hurt. Chris Cooley coming in Washington. It appears that's the case. Understands the offense. Has some good names there. Hasn't been picked up by anybody else, but I don't know what that says. Do you have any trust in Chris Cooley to step in and be a playable fantasy tight end?
No, I don't. I think the problem is that Fred Davis had all the talent right now. And Fred Davis still wasn't putting up good fantasy tight end numbers. To expect Chris Cooley to come in and succeed where Fred Davis wasn't, I think that's just silly.
How the hell is RG3 putting up these numbers? Well, Santana Moss has done well. But, I mean, seriously.
But even not like, when you say well.
Well,
I mean,
it's not.
I mean, that's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, well compared to what you expected.
Yeah, I mean,
he's putting up all these numbers. Who the hell's catching the ball? It's not Garçon. It's not Hankerson. It's not Fred Davis. It's not the running backs. It's not... I guess he spreads it around.
He runs himself. It's a combination of everybody on their roster.
Everybody gets a little bit, and he runs a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of those amazing, like, you look back at the numbers.
At least last year, Cam Newton, you went, Cam Newton's great. Steve Smith is great.
Yep.
Steve Smith has lost a step.
Steve Smith
I've been worried about it for a few years, and it finally has happened.
Yeah, I mean, the number one problem, I think, is that just before we go out, is I know that we weren't necessarily wrong in a lot of cases. But I think one of the biggest problems is that there's such disparity between the top level and everybody else.
Yeah.
That if you don't have... Some people have 2 to 3 top level guys because they're interspersed throughout the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't get one of those top level guys... There's nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
You can struggle immensely because if you just look at the wide receivers, you know, you've got some, you know, two guys who are in the over 100 points. You've got like 480 point guys, and then it really starts to drop off.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys, you start to question, like, when you are talking about Calvin Johnson being out of the top 10. And Mike Wallace and Larry Fitzgerald and Stevie Johnson and Julio Jones and Dwayne Bowe. You're talking about a massive, you know, reorganization in fantasy football point-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't see this pick up, then a lot of guys that the pundits were calling as going to have amazing seasons and guys who should have amazing seasons are not. And in our case, that is absolutely destroying us this season.
Absolutely. Andre Roberts is outproducing players, all those players on the list. That's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. Was there anybody who expected Roddy White to outperform Julio Jones?
I thought it was possible, but not likely.
Not likely. Nope. Was there anybody... You know, I have no problem with A.J. Green being the number one fantasy wide receiver.
Oh, he's a wicked talent. That's said, you know, I mean, yeah, exactly. James Jones outproducing, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is crazy. So.
Yeah.
All right, I think we are OUT, but I am Mo, M-O at We Talk Podcast, Mo _ We Talk on Twitter. You are...
Brett, B-R-E-T-T _ We Talk on Twitter. Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com.
Anything else you want to tell people?
Well, I think I will say, we'll see you, and we'll beat you, hopefully.